Please bow for prayer. Open your word to our hearts and our hearts to your word, O Lord. Amen. When we pray, as I just did, we are asking God through the Spirit to effect a proper hearing and receiving of God's word. In other words, we are asking for a Pentecost experience. To put it another way, we are asking that through the Spirit of God, the word becomes intelligible to us and simultaneously makes us receptive to that word, changing us, transforming us, recreating us into the image of God, and then sharing it with others. And so I have prayed for a Pentecost experience here and now this morning. I just wanted you to know. This morning, my aim is to give us a sense of the significance of this celebration in the church calendar, and to help us clarify what it is in the context of Christian faith. You see, I grew up not having much of a sense of Pentecost or appreciation for it. I knew that there was a funny Low German word that people used for Pentecost, Pinkston. Not knowing Low German, I just laughed at that word. But that's what it was for me, for the most part, for many years. I also knew it in school as a holiday, because a lot of people seemed to be absent for that day. I know also that it sometimes occasioned baptism in the churches, but I didn't know why. And it had to do more with certain denominations than others. As I grew older, I learned that it came to celebrate the coming of the Spirit in the church, and that there were certain denominations which made more of that than others. I found out that the denomination of Pentecostalism, the Pentecostal Church, was founded in 1906 in a place in Pasadena, California, called Azusa Street. And that Pentecostalism is the largest growing phenomenon in the Christian church in the world today. We as a church have made many things, different things, of the role of the Spirit in our lives. We've often talked about spiritual gifts or the charismata being significant. We've linked them almost in terms of their kind of exotic nature. Speaking in tongues, of giving a word of knowledge, etc. Talk about spiritual fruits. That is, the building of certain character traits in us as Christians, which enable us to become more Christ-like. Faith, hope, love, generosity, etc. We talk about spiritual insights, the way in which suddenly a translation of Scripture or the scriptural word becomes real to us, or we start to make sense of it in our own lives. And for some, it defines a particular age in the whole era of God's created order. And now we are in the age of the Spirit, which just precedes the coming of Christ. But as I grew older, I learned that this notion of Pentecost had its Old Testament roots. As Rita was telling us, it has a long historical origin. Pentecost was part of the five great feasts, yearly feasts, that the Israelites were to celebrate. It was an agricultural festival, otherwise known as the Feast of Weeks or the Feast of First Fruits. This was when farmers brought the first of their harvest, the first part of their harvest, no matter what it was, whether it was good, whether it wasn't that great, perhaps when it was really paltry. They brought it, first of all, in gratitude to God, but also as a prayer for anticipating, hoping, praying for a good harvest for the rest of it. And it was also based on this principle that after the release of Israel from Egypt, on the 50th day, it is said, they came to Mount Sinai, and here it was that God gave them the rules for living as a people, as a nation, in the form of the law, which included the Ten Commandments, but much, much more. And so here, in this way, they were to carry out God's program for them in the world. But then I also realized, after a while, having been taught by many, that Pentecost has to do with the Christian church in a very unique and significant way. It is predicated on the need for Jesus to rise to his Father after the resurrection, to be ascended into heaven so that the Spirit can be released. And this rise of Jesus to the place beside the Father triggers the release of the Spirit to humankind, to empower humans to accomplish God's work here on earth through the church. Paul speaks to the Corinthians as being a new creation, because that's what the Spirit does. Renovates, makes new humanity, and joins what was once divided, heaven and earth. Dr. N.T. Wright writes, "The pouring out of the Spirit on earth is the presence in our sphere of the sheer energy of heaven itself." He goes on to say, because Jesus is the Lord of all, his energy, the power to be and to do something quite new, is available through the Spirit to all who call on him, all who follow him, to all who trust him. And so this important day in which we celebrate the coming of the Spirit is something I want to do with us this morning. And I want to do that in three different ways. As Rita already mentioned, I've entitled this morning as being the wildness of God. There's something about wind and fire that doesn't know boundaries. And something about wildness suggests the inability to make it tame, the inability to predict it. Something happens which goes beyond rationality. There's something about this that disturbs many of us. In our experience and in our religious traditions, we tend to like order. My experience was that order meant peace. It meant no unpleasant surprises. It meant faithful obedience, stolid acceptance, or in other words, no fuss. The God we have come to believe in is a God of order and consistency, and so we live our lives accordingly. One of the things that has given me joy over the past year is reading Stephen Bell's Pilgrim's Year, kind of series on the Christian year through a liturgical means. And his guest columnist for this Sunday is a female artist named Alana Lewandowski. And she writes about Pentecost's demonstration of God's wildness. We want and half expect a safe God. We think we know God pretty well. We think that we're immune to trouble if we're obedient and devout. And in some ways, for many of us, I think we have domesticated God. We have made God our servant. But really, in order to celebrate Pentecost in the manner of the biblical description of the first Pentecost, exuberance rather than formality is required. And the idea of us being in control is thrown out the window. As Alana Lewandowski writes, Pentecost wasn't about human control and domesticity or domesticating expression. For heaven's sake, the disciples were accused of drunkenness. They were out of control. But it isn't the God of dissolution that we know or believe in, but rather the God of the unexpected. The God described in Narnia, where Mrs. Beaver says to the children about Aslan, "He's wild, you know. It's not like a tame lion." The work of the Spirit may cause us to do certain things which seem entirely unreasonable, like giving up lives of ease and taking on assignments which seem almost impossible. Like for some of us, reticent at best, to go to somebody and just share our faith. Or to forego a reasonably assured career for a difficult one, which perhaps promises no worldly rewards. In some ways, that may be the way the wildness of God activates itself in our lives. Mark Buchanan writes a book entitled, "Your God is Too Safe." What do you expect of God? What do you hope for in God? Do you hope for more of the same? A life filled with reasonable expectations of ease, of no fuss? Or are you open to a world in which God promises to bless you, but perhaps in a very strange way? What Pentecost does is tell us that the God we worship is not a tame God, is not a tame God whose way with us is always so reasonable, so orderly. Secondly, I want to suggest to you this morning that the Pentecost celebration is a celebration of unity amid diversity. We read in the text that the disciples spoke in other languages, recognizable by those who were in Jerusalem from other countries. There was a diversity of people, of backgrounds, of races, of religions, and they all came to be in one city. And each of them heard the gospel in their own language. And if you fast forward to Acts chapter 10, verse 34 to 43, which we looked at just a few weeks ago at Easter time, we read of Peter's weekend with Cornelius the centurion. And here again, having heard the gospel, the whole household began speaking in tongues, speaking in languages beyond the ones they normally spoke. You see, one can't help but hear the echoes of the Genesis story of the building of the Tower of Babel and the confusion that God brought about to the people building this tower, who sought by building this to gain access to heaven and to take the place of God himself. And having a common language, it is said in Genesis chapter 8 that God confused their tongues and they began not being able to understand each other, and slowly the project died and they scattered over the face of the earth. In our Acts story, the Spirit brings clarity to the speaking of many different languages and brings unity to all of those who came, so that not only did each person understand, but they came to faith in the same Lord, in the same God. The coming of the Spirit at Pentecost brings unity, even across cultural, linguistic, and international borders. What was once divided is now reconciled. The many have become one, the body of Christ. At the time of the Tower of Babel, humanity sought to become gods, to storm the heavens, as it were. At Pentecost, God sends the Spirit to humanity to enable all to become children of God. What was once torn has now been mended. And this, Peter says, God has planned from the beginning. Third aspect I would like us to remember this Pentecost Sunday is the call to change our ways and direction, and to open ourselves to rescue. When the people hear Peter's message, they say, okay, what shall we do? Peter says, repent and be baptized. Repentance means to turn around. Turn back from the way you were going and go the other way. In other words, you're going in a way that leads to death. Rather, choose life. Choose life. And the way to do that is to turn to the work and sacrifice of Jesus. And you'll symbolize that by being baptized. Tom Wright says, in other words, join this movement. Allow the death and resurrection of Jesus to become the badge you wear, the sign of your new identity. With you and your children sharing in the new life of the baptized community. The life which has the stamp of Jesus on it. The life which is defined in terms of turning away from the course you were going and embracing Jesus' way instead. It means actually to becoming a new person. So ultimately, the word of Pentecost is to turn. Turn. Whenever we are in a mess, of whatever sort or for whatever reason, we should remember this, that we are turned back and be rescued people. We are repent and be baptized people. In Christ, we have the right, the birthright, to cash in on that promise at any place and at any time. That is the message of Pentecost. That is what we celebrate this day. We are a new people. Praise be to God. Amen.